Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Life of Samson, Part 9, Samson and Delilah, and I had to divide this story in two. So we're going to be taking a look at Part 1 of Samson and Delilah. Probably one of the more famous stories in the Scriptures, as we have the fall of Samson. As we've looked at this life of Samson, we have seen the true story of a man called of God to begin the deliverance of the children of Israel from Philistine bondage. We have seen a man with faults, and yet God used him. What a powerful truth that is, for who doesn't have fault? But we've also seen the glorious picture, the type, the symbols of Jesus Christ, his life, the miraculous birth announced by the angel to the mother. The story went on as we reviewed at length. The story shifts now. We continue in the life of Samson, seeing a very real man, but now no longer is he picturing Christ. That's been settled if you think about the story from the miraculous birth in Judges 13 all the way through Judges 16, verses 1 through 3, where he's in the tomb and he rose again. And he took the bars of the city away. The work is done. Now Samson represents a Christian who knows better and plays with sin. So it shifts here. We still have the very real story of Samson enticed by Delilah. But the typology, the picture, the symbols change. And now we learn as Christians, now that we look upon the work of Jesus Christ, his life, his miraculous birth, his life, his willful identity with the harlot, what pictures the tomb, but he arose. Now that we have that, we should live for the Lord. But how many times do we trifle with sin? And this is what we see in Samson. He now is picturing a Christian who knows better. And what a sad, sad commentary that is. Let us pick up Judges chapter 16, verse 4. It came to pass afterward, the last few verses, if you remember, he was with a harlot in Gaza. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Samson had a problem with morality. In chapter 14, he had to have a wife of the Philistines. Then he has a problem with the woman in Gaza. Now he's got a woman in the valley of Sorek. Folks, God has ordained marriage. It's his plan, not for us to deviate from it, but to be blessed by it. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Samson representing a Christian, Delilah representing anything that lures the believer away from their relationship with God. It does not say, as we look at Delilah, that she was a harlot. It does not say she was just an acquaintance. It doesn't say she was a wife to be desired, like he was desiring a Philistine wife back in Judges 14. It doesn't say, which is very significant, that it really doesn't specify exactly what the lure was to Delilah. We know in Judges 14 he was lured because he wanted to marry this woman. But we do not understand clearly, it is not defined what Delilah is. But we know this, therefore she can be a picture of anything that lures us away from the things of God. And believe me, there's a myriad of things. It could be alcohol, drugs, gambling. It could be gossip. It could be fear. It could be worry. What are you addicted to? What entices you? What's your Delilah? If you don't know, let me tell you who does know. The devil knows, and he will throw that up at you. The five lords of the Philistines represent the forces of evil, out to destroy, willing to use whatever Delilah it takes, promising each 1,100 pieces of silver. Back in Judges 14:3, we saw when we studied this story, he was warned, is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren? Why, Samson? Why? Why do you have to trifle with sin? Why can't you do things God's way? But Samson does not learn his lessons. We must heed the warnings that we see here in the life of Samson. Did you know that when God gives us restrictions, guidelines, rules, he doesn't do it to torment us. He does it for our good. God does not want us trifling with sin. He wants a good life for us. You know, one of the greatest lies of the devil is God's withholding something from you. God wants to give you the best life that there is. Delilah's sin is being used by the Philistines to ruin Samson. He knows where Samson's weak, women. And that's where he's striking. To Samson, she was beautiful. Beware. Beware. Be careful where you go and what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. That's only for kids, because it doesn't matter what adults see. You don't believe me, do you? Folks, that's for all of us. It's for all of us. That we be careful what we see, what we hear, where we go. It is so important. Here is Samson going to the Valley of Sorek. Why? Why? He is influenced by his poor choice of friends. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Boy, does that picture Samson. There were five lords of the Philistines. We know that from other places in Scripture. Joshua 13:3 being one. And they offer this reward to Delilah. She cares about the money. She doesn't care anything about Samson. She has no respect for spiritual things. Silver is worth more. Folks, can I so boldly say it? The alcohol industry does not care about what it does to your family. They want profit. And they're willing to take your money, give you a product that will destroy. Drugs. It destroys, ruins people's families, health, reputations, their spirituality. Why did the Philistines have to ask Delilah to find out where Samson's strength was? Because he did not have big muscles. If he was one of these massive bodybuilders, you'd look and go, boy, are you strong. But instead, they had to see, would you please figure out how does this guy do it? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is when the Spirit of the Lord is working mightily. That's when Samson had great strength. Folks, that's why it is so important that we walk in the Spirit. And it is amazing what God can do through us. It's not us, it's God. Entice him in a moral sense to make him simple, in a sinister way to deceive. Samson was enticed by his first wife. Remember, the Philistine friends came to him and said, would you entice your husband and let us know what this riddle is? And she did. And he finally gave in. But he doesn't learn. Throughout the adult life of Samson, we have seen him trifle with sin and falter. Christian, you can't play with sin and get away with it. Samson is not learning. He's in the Valley of Sorek. A low spot in his life is the valley. He's in Sorek. You ready for this one? Sorek, what does it mean? It means a vine in the sense of redness of a vine stock, one yielding purple grapes, the richest variety, choice, noble wine. Okay, let's think about this. What do we know about Samson? He's a Nazarite. Please look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 6. As a Nazarite, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. But all I'm doing is walking through this valley. Why? 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, have no appearance of evil. Don't even give the appearance of evil. Why are you walking there? Why are you putting yourself in a place of temptation? Because I am too spiritual to be overcome by sin. That's why none of us are. Stay away from it. What are you doing in a low spot in a valley of wine, if you will, or grapes? when you're a Nazirite with Delilah. You know, we don't think so much as people's names meaning things anymore. But names meant things in times past. Delilah ultimately means to slacken or be feeble, to be oppressed, to bring low, dry up, be emptied, impoverished. Now there's something to desire, isn't there? And so it is, Samson, a man who knows better, is wasting his time and his life, his efforts, his resources, his spirituality, his reputation in the Valley of Sorek. You know, as we read this story of Delilah, we see also something very interesting. She offers him nothing. As you read it, she doesn't promise him anything. If you tell me, I will, it's not there. He is just infatuated with her, whatever she is, because it's not defined clearly what he desires from her, leaving it wide open, whatever entices a Christian away from the things of God. Verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Just tell me. I'm not going to promise you anything if you give me that. Just tell me. You would think that he would start to say, why do you want to know how to bind me? But how blinded we are when we start to trifle and play with sin. The obvious seems to elude us, as it did with Samson. Seems to me, if somebody says, hey, listen, could you please tell me what's the best way to bind you? I would say, oh, sure. Or would you kind of say, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? But I do want you to understand, Christian, please learn from this. We can do some pretty incredible things when we're blinded by sin. And sin does blind. And it gets us down to, how could you be so foolish because of the blindness of sin? The unsaved walk in darkness. We're warned not to walk in the darkness like they do. We're blinded. She is boldly asking him, how can I bind you? She is going to press the issue. Christian, the devil wants to put his pressure upon you to decide between God and the lust of the world. And he's going to pressure it. And the more you trifle, come on, Eve, did God really say? And just pound and pound and wear you down. This is why Joshua challenged the children of Israel in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Come on, Christian, let's choose. And then go for it. Judges 16:7. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dry, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought her up 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson! And he brake the withes. As a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. It wasn't his big muscles. Here, Samson, we're going to see, is giving his first excuse as he plays with, tolerates, justifies his relationship with sin. Oh, if you just do this. Samson being the light-hearted man that we have seen throughout our study, trifling with sin, not taking life seriously, not taking his Nazirite vows seriously. Oh yeah, just bind me this way. Don't you think he would have learned when they bound him? But he has become so proud, I can do anything. You can't overcome me. I mean, don't you know how spiritual I am? Christian, none of us can play with sin and get away with it. Here it is, he lies. He lied to her. It has nothing to do with 7 green withes. But that's okay. Now we're trifling with sin, we're entertaining our lusts, and at the same time we're lying, wasting our time. A green withe, apparently some type of a rope taken from a plant, and it wasn't dried yet. If you take this 7 of them, that will bind me. But what was the result? It was like tow touching fire. It burned immediately. It fell off. He didn't do it. God did it. Why would God still be with Samson while he's with this great sin? Because God is merciful and slow to anger. But let me tell you what, there comes a time God says, enough is enough. And so it is that Samson is here playing with lust, lying, wasting his time, and God is merciful. I will still free your hand, Samson. Will you listen to the warning? You could have been overpowered had I not been with you. Delilah did not lie. She wanted to know, how do I bind you? She saw to it he was bound. Don't you marvel? Cigarette packages admit right on the box they cause cancer. Laws prohibit a person from drinking and driving because it is proven to deaden your reflexes and your judgment. Is it not obvious that gambling generates more losers than winners? Folks, somebody's got to pay for those facilities and all those employees. They're not hiding it. And how often do people get into this stuff? And Delilah said unto Samson, verse 10, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And he did. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off from his arms like a thread. Again, he lightheartedly jokes about the bondage. Oh, I can overcome sin. It will not entangle me. And God again is merciful. He is fully awake. Delilah took new ropes and bound him wherewith. He's saying, okay, tie me. Go ahead. Give me some alcohol. He just freely stood there and said, sure, try it. I can overcome this. She took the new ropes and bound him therewith. The Philistines are here. And yet he brake them off his arms like a thread. God is still blessing. God is still merciful. But God's patience is starting to wear thin. Twice he has been warned. She saw to it the seven green withes were put around his wrists. She has now taken the new rope and put it around his wrist. And Samson still blindly goes on, following his lust blindly. God gives us a free choice. He does not force anybody. He punishes, but he allows us to make the choice to serve. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies, and he has. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fashioned it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And so it is a third time that she has asked and he has given her a lie for an answer. I want you to imagine as a Nazarite, as a full-grown man, do you know how long his hair must be? And she has taken this and woven his hair with this. If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. So she has taken apparently the structure and fastened it with a pin. This time he's asleep. He awaked out of his sleep. He's now becoming more and more comfortable. I can just lay down and rest in the midst of all this temptation. I am not at all fearful because she has tried to bind me twice. Philistines have come upon me. I am at peace because I can play with sin and get away with it. No, you can't. It is the grace of God right now that is preserving Samson. And so it is that she has now tried the third time. Samson is a fool, and the story is revealing this. Christians, we can be fools. There are those who would teach, if you're saved, you'll serve. If you're saved, you will persevere to the end. If you're saved, you will have fruit. I really struggle with that because my Bible doesn't teach that. There are Christians that can do some pretty stupid things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some of them were weak, some were sick, and some were sleeping. They were dead because they were in sin. Samson is a picture of a fool of a Christian. He's literally sleeping while she's now binding him. He's at peace. Verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily, the Christian daily pursues his lust. And the lust continues to entice for destruction. She is not hidden, that she's literally going to try it to overcome him. And the Christian can be experiencing the oppression of whatever this desire is. How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, his soul was vexed unto death. And now that which was so desirous is now oppressing him. And yet he is caught in bondage, pursuing it day after day, and it's frustrating him, and he keeps going back. We call it addiction. And he can't get out of it. He played with it, and now it controls him. He's vexed unto death. Christian, there are 2 ways to end the struggle that you're against when you're enticed. 1, stand strong for God and get away from it. 2, give in. But it only gets worse. Samson continues to play, even though he has been obviously warned. 3 times he lied to her, and 3 times she did the very thing. Christian, we go back and we play with sin, and surely we suffer the consequences, and we keep playing because we got away with it. And God says, there's coming a time. There's coming a time. Don't mock the grace of God. He is vexed unto death. And it's sad because Christians can get themselves into drug addiction or other sins. Vexed unto death. They played with it rather than searching the goodness of God and living the life he has for them. Now Samson hates the very lust that he diligently pursues. Daily it oppresses him. He is addicted and it's hard to stop. Remember that Delilah can represent anything. It doesn't promise anything specific. It is something that is desirous. It could be immorality, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be gambling. These statistics are old, but let me just give you a little bit. Statistics for drug and violence in the workforce. Percentage of major U.S. companies that routinely test new employees for illegal drugs is 81%. Percentage of positive tests, 1.9. Percentage of workplaces that have been on the site of an act of violence, 33%. Our addictions make us cling to what the world proclaims as the keys to self-fulfillment. Accumulation of wealth and power, attainment of status and admiration, lavish consumption of food and drink, and physical gratification without distinguishing between lust and love. The addicted life can aptly be designated a life lived in a distant country. Beneath it all is the great rebellion, the unspoken curse, I wish you were dead. That's what an addiction desires to do to us. But sin can be anything addicting. Are you addicted to gossip? To worry? Fear? Lying? Lust of money, power, status? Anything that separates you from God. And Samson's soul has no peace. So it is with a Christian when we play with sin. Samson now no longer pictures the glorious picture of Jesus Christ. Now he pictures the Christian who does not serve God, but has now fallen for the lusts of the world. And that lust has now enslaved him. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. God does not want Christians to be like the natural man. God wants us to be strong in the Spirit, that He can work through us and do great things. But this is what happens when we trifle with sin, when we play with sin, rather than separate ourselves and seek the goodness of God and serving Him. Samson pictures a Christian. Let me just take a minute. How do you become a Christian? Let that hand represent every person that's ever come on this earth. Let that billfold represent sin. God says, I love you, I hate the sin. But all have a sin debt that must be satisfied. There's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of it. And if we do not satisfy this, when we die, this will separate us from eternity. And God is not willing that any should perish. Let that hand represent Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God laid on Him the iniquities of us all. And Jesus Christ on that cross was the Lamb of God, the only one that could take away, not cover, but take away the sin of the world. And He died, rose again the third day, the debt was paid. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I'm a sinner. There's nothing that I can do to get rid of that sin. And I realize that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, took my place. He paid my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And He rose again the third day, paid in full. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, believe in His work of redemption, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Christian, tonight I want to challenge you. Don't trifle with sin. God is merciful, but there comes a time. Heavenly Father, now bless this study and our time in Your Word. Help us to truly heed the warnings that we see so vividly here in the foolishness of Samson. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.